As you may know, the anxious client does not really own his or her emotions, but often attributes them to other people and to external events. And I find this very, very key in the therapy with a client, if I can help them to realize that they're not really owning the experience and they're blaming others. Now, this passive role makes your client unable to see how he is creating his or her own feelings. A typical client will say, for example, he, she, or it was making me anxious, as you know. I encourage the client to make such affective statements in the active. For example, I encourage them to say, I was making myself anxious, rather than the passive, it was making me anxious. Just a review of that basic point, and you might think of an anxiety disordered client that you're treating or have treated, and think about the statements that they make, reviewing this basic principle with them. Also, teach the client to replace why questions, I find, with how questions. When the client asks himself, why is he anxious, or why he or she cannot control his or her anxiety, the client ends up with more anxious thinking and less awareness. However, I find a solution to this is by focusing on how he or she is making themselves anxious, how they switch on the thinking, and I ask the client to observe themselves. An overriding strategy is for the client to approach what he or she fears, as you know. One reason is to provide the client with opportunities to discover what is feared. I, like you, find most clients are unable to identify their automatic thoughts and specific fears in the office, but need to be in the anxiety situation to do so. Quite often, I'm sure you have worked with a client to design ways for him to experience the anxiety so that he can discover his thinking. Now, this is often the case, as you know, with phobias, where the client succeeds in avoiding the fears. However, let me explain to you about a client I had, Adam, who was anxious about a speech. The problem was, there were no speeches on the horizon, so I encouraged him to ask questions at meetings he was attending that would produce the same anxiety as if he were speaking in front of the group. Adam was then able to identify his automatic thoughts by asking himself, as he saw others giving speeches, if I was there right now, what would I be afraid of? So rethink a client that you've treated or are treating, and think about your use of role-playing in a session to recreate anxiety. If that's not appropriate, think of situations which your client might venture into that would create similar feelings to help him observe the control of his automatic thoughts. The client often attempts to block his fearful thoughts, as you know, and thus achieves temporary closure. However, I find it important to point out to the client that their frightening thoughts reappear all the stronger when they're not confronted. For this reason, I encourage clients to think through the unpleasant scenario he is trying to block out. Amy, afraid of losing control in public, was encouraged to stay with her feelings until she could identify her ultimate fear. The rationale given was, the more you try not to think about something, the more you think about it. And I find a good example I give clients to get this point across is I ask them not to think about their nose and then ask them to observe their mind and their thought process. The next step after identifying the fear, Adam increased his self-awareness by choosing to distance himself from his anxiety. He did this by referring to him as it or by his first name. I have found with clients that this technique, referring to themselves by their name, for example, Adam is frightened now, Adam is concerned about his ability to speak, they separate out their anxiety. I ask them to put it into a separate package or a box. And I find that the effect is that the anxiety, rather than being a feeling that washes totally over the client, is one that they can deal with separately. And I've had great success with asking the client to use their name rather than I am anxious to say Adam is anxious, for example. In this exercise, the client refers to himself as a separate entity throughout the day and comments on his anxiety in the case of Adam from a distance. For example, Adam seems to be scared. His heart is beating. He has to be concerned that others are thinking poorly of him. Adam is focusing on the impression he is making on other people. Now, by distancing himself from his anxious response, Adam gained an objectivity into picturing himself and was rather rapidly able to gain control over his anxiety. Question number 6. Ready for this? What is a technique to help the client distance himself from the anxiety?